You were really very emotionally unavailable to me. You didn't see me anymore. I felt like you didn't actually look me in the eye anymore. You were slipping out of my grasp, and I could just feel I was losing you. Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography. But through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I am Emily, and I'm here with my husband, Johnny.
Hello, everybody. How are you today?
We're just really glad to be back again this week, and we've got a pretty juicy show for you today, I think.
Yes, as seen in the title, today's topic is going to be of a sexual nature, and there is going to be some talk along that line. So if your children are around, maybe you want to pop in your earbuds and listen to this one by yourself. It's going to be informational and meaningful, and we hope that we'll be able to share some things today that will be helpful as you move on in your journey after betrayal.
Yes, we're not going to be graphic today, but we are going to be vulnerable with our own story.
Emily, some of the joys that come from recording our podcast from our home, as much as we try to isolate our studio, there are just some sounds that we just can't filter out.
Right.
And as I was listening to last week's podcast, I heard the faint sound of one of our peacocks crying out. And this is Bertram, our alpha male, who perches himself on the back of my trailer, which is near the house where we record. And honestly, it doesn't matter where on our property that he does that, we're going to hear him.
Yeah. So if you heard a sound in our podcast that was like somebody being murdered,
or maybe even like a distant sound of a baby crying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like sometimes, or a woman crying for help.
Yes, absolutely. So, Emily, I think this is what I want to do just for some fun. So, for you, our listeners, if you heard our peacocks in the background on episode 44 on slips and relapses, I'm going to give a 25% coaching discount to the first person that contacts us with where in the podcast by the minute that that peacock is heard. And we will give you that 25% discount on our coaching.
That sounds like a great idea. Yeah. I love contests. I'm very competitive.
Right.
I'm going to disqualify myself from this one, but y'all go ahead and write into us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com and give us your best guess, and we would love to give you that discount on coaching.
That's right.
Before we get to our show today, we do have a 5-star review from Robin Ryan McDonald. Johnny, would you read that for us?
Yes. She titles it, "The Church Needs This." And she says, "Emily and Johnny are bringing a much needed topic to the Christian space in a way that is real and authentic. I'm so grateful for their work on this show."
Thank you, Robin, for that wonderful review. You're right. There is not much on the topic of porn addiction and infidelity in the Christian arena. There's becoming more and more these days, but for many years, there weren't a lot of solid biblical resources on this topic. So we are really excited to be a part of this movement towards vulnerability and transparency in marriage and helping other folks through our experience learn how to overcome these challenges with the help of God.
Emily, I would agree. Although some churches are starting to do a really good job at addressing this issue, the tide across the Big C church of the United States is not turning yet. It's just because it hasn't really come out into the open where pastors are talking about it from the pulpit. So, Robin Ryan McDonald, thank you so much for your kind words. We very much appreciate it.
Yes, Robin, thank you. And she has her own podcast called Vision Driven Health. So you can look her up if you'd like. And speaking of not finding much help in this arena, ladies, are you feeling alone and unable to share your burden with someone who understands your pain and confusion? Someone who can gently lead you through your grief and help you make wise decisions? Well, when my world was turned upside down by sexual betrayal in my marriage, I immediately felt lost and alone. For too long, I didn't have anyone to help me understand what was happening, what it meant, and what I should do about it. I was having a hard time even functioning throughout the day. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. Crying all the time. I didn't know who I could turn to for a safe place to process all the intense emotions I was feeling. I turned to the Lord, and He was with me. But I also longed for Jesus with skin on to help me get on the path to healing. I want you to know that you don't have to go through the trauma of betrayal alone. You need a safe place and an understanding heart to help you walk through the minefield of a shattered marriage. Someone who has lived this devastation and has emerged victorious, that someone is me. So don't wait. Go now to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com and see if coaching with me might be the help you've been praying for.
Thank you, Emily. So today, as we talk over the topic of intimacy with a sex addict, I just have a couple of questions that I want to ask the wives today. Ladies, have you spent years trying to connect with your husband in a meaningful and fulfilling way, only to find that you couldn't get there no matter what you did? Or has it ever occurred to you that you may be trying to experience intimacy with a sex addict? Seems oxymoronic, right? Intimacy with a sex addict. We think so as well. But how many wives are living this nightmare without knowing why? Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be sharing our perspective on the pitfalls of trying to achieve intimacy in a marriage when sex addiction is a behind-the-scenes factor.
Yes, and what you said there is key, a behind-the-scenes factor.
That's right.
Something that's going on unknowingly in your marriage.
Right. Another good word for that would be insidious.
Ooh, yeah. Insidious.
So before we get going on today's topic, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer.
Great. Thank you, Johnny.
Father, thank you so much for bringing us together with our listeners as we get the opportunity to talk over what sexuality inside of marriage looked like for us as we were trying to navigate the reality of pornography and not understanding how it was affecting our marriage. So today, Father, we pray for your grace and mercy, that it would cover all of us. It would cover the ears and the hearts of those who are listening. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to be with us today, that you would inspire us to words that are helpful and connective. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Emily, as we have been talking over the idea of intimacy with a sex addict, right? As we mentioned just a moment ago, that it seems a little oxymoronic. As we were thinking this over, we decided we were going to break today's content into three major time periods of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Our early years, which is the 1 to 5 year period, and then our middle years, which we've defined as the 6 to 15 year period, and then the later years, which would be 16 to 31 years, which leads us right up to discovery. So as we start to unpack this today, what we really want to convey, Emily, is your perspective on trying to have intimacy in our marriage and what that looked like through sexuality with me, with an unknown factor at play.
Right.
So as we get into our first time period, this is the 1 to 5 year period. We are pre-kids. We are pre-porn in marriage, even though I was still involved with pornography before we got married. I had set it aside, and that lasted through this time period, which is why it ends this time period for us and things started to change.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into what your perspective is. Tell us a little bit about these years.
Sure. And I just wanted to say that intimacy, when we say the word intimacy, we look at it through the lens of intimacy in many areas of our marriage, not just sexual. We are going to be focusing more on the sexual aspect of it today. But we agree, honey, that there really can't be intimacy in sex if there's no intimacy in other areas like emotional, spiritual, relational, things like that.
Yes, that's correct. I agree completely.
So when we first were married, we started out, it was really us against the world. We had a fantastic first 5 years, very fun and adventurous. You joined the Navy.
We did.
And so I was a Navy wife, and we went to several different states to live. And then there was the adventure of you going out to sea and me being left at home to take care of things on my own. Some of that wasn't the best for me, but the homecoming was always wonderful. And we had a lot of fun just figuring life out. We were just barely out of our teens at that point, and we were just figuring out life. And it was just fun to be together and conquering this big wide world on our own.
Right. I remember one thing that we did, and this is just kind of a silly example of you and I just trying to figure things out and have fun together. You remember when we were trying to teach each other how to throw the ball with our opposite hand?
Right, a football. Yes, we were in the backyard trying to do that just to make it a challenge and just have some silly fun.
Right.
And that was typical of our life together. You know, we did work hard. We both brought in an income. But when we were together, there was a lot of playtime and we really enjoyed each other. At that point, we were as close to intimacy as we ever would be until after we started recovery. And of course, the sex was really great. Initially, though, I want to say before we got married, you know, we did have sex before we got married. And we abstained for a few months when we were having our premarital counseling. But you really didn't know what you were doing, honey.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
And really, it's because the only education that you had about sex was through pornography.
Or through previous experiences with young girls in my teen years as well.
Right, who didn't know what they were doing either. So I took it upon myself to show you what was pleasurable for me.
Right.
And as those first years went by, you became a very skilled and tender lover. It was a very enjoyable experience for both of us to come together sexually. So toward the end of that 5-year period, you detached from the Navy, and we moved back to our hometown of Austin.
Right.
We lived with your parents for a while until we could find work and buy a house.
Right. What a way to interrupt the sex life and really mess around with intimacy, especially with a newborn son.
Yes, we did have a newborn son at that point.
Right. So that moves us into our middle years, which is now the 6 to 15 year period. And we're going to be right in the middle of raising kids. We just started my landscape business, we're homeschooling, you're starting to work more in your own realm of health coaching. And so this is where life becomes life and it gets a little more complicated. Let's hear a little bit more about what was going on in those years as well.
Those were very busy years for us. Of course, that's typical for any growing family. But through those years, I always felt like we were still on our honeymoon. I used to tell people that we were 15 years married and still on our honeymoon. It really kind of ended shortly after that. But I'll have to say, even with the appearance of some pornography use that I either caught you doing or you confessed to me, just those few times during those middle years, I thought we had addressed it and put it to bed. So it wasn't really, in my mind, a factor in what an amazing husband and father that you were to us. I just really enjoyed being married to you. I was your biggest fan.
And always have been.
Yes. But I did notice in those years that you were starting to become emotionally distant.
Yes.
Then also towards the end of those middle years, I found that sex was becoming more unfulfilling. For me, we weren't really connecting the way that we used to. And I didn't understand why, but I just chalked it up to busyness and being tired and being distracted and all those things that go along with motherhood.
Right. And that's a perfectly natural place to cast those feelings on because that's everyday life.
And it's normal, right? And running a business and helping you with running your business and being in ministry, you know, not together, but separately. In our own sphere of influence through our church and just, yeah, busy, busy. I started feeling in those years a little bit neglected, and I felt myself really enjoying the attention that I was getting from other men at the church.
And what did that attention look like?
Well, of course, you kind of know when someone finds you attractive, but also they were just affirming me in my skills and my talents and validating my feelings, which I was not really getting from you at this point at home much.
Yes.
And that became a problem. There was nothing ever sexual about these emotional connections I had with other men, but I could see that it was becoming a dangerous trend that I needed to keep in check. And one of the other things that I know that was a lie that I started to believe in those years was that pleasure in sex was really for the man, that it wasn't really for the woman. And I think maybe some of this has come from a religious background. I grew up trusting in Jesus since I was 5, and I was pretty secure in my identity with him. But as the years went by and I just kept feeling like sex was becoming more and more about you and less about me or us, I started to believe that lie that maybe it is supposed to be that way and it's just my wifely duty and I wasn't really feeling the pleasure or the enjoyment myself anymore. I even started to believe that there might be something wrong with me, you know, anatomically or sexually, because you were always able to reach orgasm. And I rarely did. I was just really feeling very discouraged with our sexual relationship.
Emily, the church in the past certainly has gotten this particular segment wrong about the wife and the husband relationship, as far as the man being the head of the household, which is God's plan and design, but it has been miscarried over into this idea that you are designed to have sex with me for my pleasure, and that's what it's for. And the church is completely leaving out any notion that you are allowed to derive pleasure for yourself. Why? Because you're a human being, not because you're some sexual deviant that needs to have these sexual feelings or anything like that, which the church has expressed in the past. Or sometimes even vilifying a woman who is seeking sexual pleasure for herself with her husband.
Right. And that's a really hard thing to come out of when you feel the shame of that condemnation from the church.
Yes. And I just want to say on behalf of Beyond Broken Vows, you and I stand hand in hand wholeheartedly against that idea.
Absolutely.
We absolutely believe in the sexual freedom of the wife within the context of marriage.
Yes, that is so true. Thank you for saying that, honey. And it's taken me so many decades to actually learn the freedom of accepting that I am a sexual being. God created me that way. And that, you know, he actually made more nerve endings in my sexual organs than he did in yours.
Right,
So
right.
We're not here just for procreation. We're also here for mutual pleasure.
Couldn't agree more. So, Emily, that moves us into our later years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This is where things really start to degrade. The later years we've defined as the 16 to 31 years. I'm really getting a whole lot more involved with ministry.
Mm-hmm.
During these years, I have joined a nationwide motorcycle ministry, and I'm traveling more. And our kids are in their teen years. Our oldest moves out.
Mm-hmm.
And our younger ones are growing up and going through their teen years during this same period.
Yes. And then up until the empty nest, we were on our own by the time discovery happened.
That's right.
During these later years, honey, you didn't notice when I had my hair done or a new outfit or things like that. You never said anything about it. If I brought it up, which is a terrible thing to have to do, I meant to tell you that looks so nice. But, you know, that falls flat. If I have to ask you about it, it just doesn't ring true. And there were times when I felt very offended by some of the things you were saying and doing. And when I would bring them up to you, it was really confusing because by the end of our conversation, I would be the one in tears and apologizing to you. And it was like, what just happened? I didn't understand what was going on. And sex wasn't really going well. We were trying to connect, or I was trying to connect, and you were acquiescing, I think, to my attempts to connect with you. There was a time where, in a moment of desperation, I felt like, well, maybe I should integrate porn into our sex life. I think you were probably more than happy to show me some things, and it exposed me to things I hadn't seen before, known before, but ultimately it just again left me feeling empty and used, because honestly, through the later years, progressively, I was feeling more and more like I was just an object, like you were using me as your porn outlet. And I was starting to actually dread having sex with you.
Yes. And one point of clarity as we talk about those periods, that's now a 25-year span.
Right. Yeah. And it's a gradual thing, right? It doesn't just bam, all of a sudden happen. It's like you said, insidious. It just leaks in and grows under the surface until there's this corrosion that occurs in your marriage. And all of a sudden, something breaks and you have a real issue in your marriage now.
Right, right. You just mentioned about starting to dread sex altogether.
Yeah. In those last few years, you were traveling a lot for ministry, and I was relieved when you would go out of town, honestly, because there was just too much angst to try to relate with you when you were home. It was too hard. It was too emotionally difficult for me to either fear that you were going to initiate having sex with me, and then I would end up feeling used and unsatisfied, or that you weren't going to initiate because you just didn't care anymore. You didn't see me. You weren't attracted to me anymore sexually. Basically, I felt like you weren't in love with me anymore. So those two sides of the same coin were very unsettling for me. Actually, part of me wanted to not have sex with you at all. But then there were time periods where you were okay with that. Of course, I didn't know why you were okay with that at that point. But then I started to feel that loss of connection and really wanted to connect with you in that way. But you were slipping out of my grasp and I could just feel I was losing you. It was like you were seeing a mistress and her name was ministry.
So what we've just heard here today, Emily, is your perspective on our entire married life together as far as sexual intimacy is concerned. And honestly, we didn't paint a very bright picture at all.
No.
And matter of fact, at this point, it's looking quite bleak.
Yes, it started out as a bright light, but it got dimmer and dimmer as the years went by until it was pretty much snuffed out by the end.
Right. And so what we want to invite our listeners to do is to tune in next week, because we're going to fill in the other part of the picture, which is my perspective through all these same periods of time as well. But as is our custom, we want to share a word from God with you. And so normally we try to make those very uplifting and very powerful and very securing and things like that. But at the end, when our message can feel quite bleak, what word do you give? Well, today we found a word that comes from Psalm 34, verse 18, and says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So, Emily, what hope do you have to give today?
Well, that verse is very special for me because even through all those years, I felt the presence of Jesus with me. And I don't know how I could have gotten through any of this without feeling his closeness. So the hope is that no matter what we're going through, we can depend on Jesus to be close to us and to make space for us and make a way when there is no way.
Yes. Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much for taking the time today to just share your perspective on our sexual life during our married years leading up to discovery. Would you now close this time in prayer for us?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time today where we get to share our hearts with those who may also be hurting in the same way. Father, we know that we're not alone in this arena of sexual dysfunction. You created sex, Father, and you designed it to be beautiful and connective and intimate. And through our sin, Lord, we have broken what you have designed to be good. But you are also the fixer, and we are so grateful that we have found redemption in this area of our marriage as well, through the power of your Holy Spirit and your redeeming grace. And I pray that for all of those listening today, if they're struggling with intimacy in their marriage, emotional, spiritual, physical, sexual, whatever kind of intimacy is not there, that they are longing for, Lord. I pray that you will shepherd their hearts and keep them close to you and help them to find their way back to your perfect provision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. So what do we have for our listeners today?
So wives, I just want to encourage you to tell us what's going on in your marriage that you can't quite put your finger on that is preventing you from having true intimacy with your husband. Go ahead and write to us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. We would love to respond to you with some words of encouragement and hope, and also pray for you.
Emily, as we find so true in life everywhere, there are three sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and then there's the truth.
Right.
And I say that as we have heard your side today, we invite our listeners to come back next week to hear my side of the story on what sexuality looked like from my perspective as a sex addict.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed,
hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who's going through a similar situation and needs to know they're not alone. One of the best ways you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.